Denise Hines, thank you. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Thank you, Justin, for having me here today.
So you're the Chief America's Officer? Is that your title? Your title?
Yes. Is that the coolest title ever?
I love it. Yes. Denise is a long... First of all, you're wonderful to our industry. You're a longtime friend of mine. But this is a new role for you. You're one of the big leaders, certainly in our state and nationally when it comes to health IT. But now you've recently joined HIMSS in this new role. So tell us about this new role.
Yes. Well, it's a dream job, Justin. It's
Amen.
It's taking everything that you and I and many of us have worked on to advance the adoption of health technology, working with providers, all the industry stakeholders, workforce development, taking all of that and having a global platform Amen. To deliver services and products. And in my role, I am responsible for the global conference.
Oh, okay.
So all of the great networking and learning and bringing together 45,000 plus people.
I've already plugged it one time, but I'm going to plug it again here in a second too. But yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Working with the group that leads the coordination of the global conference to professional development, so all of our certification programs, making sure that we are positioning the next generation of skilled workers. So all of those services, certification, learning, education, products and services, as well as membership. How are we going to keep our members engaged? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure we are in touch with our members, providing them the services, the best services to help them continue to grow and understand what's happening in our industry. So I take all of those services, products, engagement opportunities in the Americas and work with a global team to ensure that all of our best practices, all of our initiatives are exchangeable globally, but mm-hmm. also taking a look at what's happening globally.
Yes.
The digital health takeover, I call it, or framework is happening globally. So we can look at best practices from robotics to digital health to artificial intelligence, take those best practices from a global perspective and see how we apply those here in the Americas. So it's the dream job, Justin, I have to say, and it's been a wonderful opportunity, and I enjoy all of the opportunity I have to talk about everything we've been working on, from women in health IT to inclusion and diversity to health equity to now really focusing on the patient experience and making sure we keep the patient at the center in everything we're doing.
Do you have anything over the theme, doing the themes for the HIMSS? Okay. Are you in part of that?
Yes, I work with the marketing team. So we have a wonderful marketing team who's actually working on the theme. So that will be revealed very soon.
I heard.
Very soon.
Tell us what goes into that, though. How do you come up with the theme for the years?
Well, we take a look at what's happening in the industry. We obviously take a look at what worked well. Our Champions of Health was a tremendous success last year.
Yes.
And the momentum from that, we want to make sure we continue to build upon that. But we also want to make sure that our industry is looking forward. Mm-hmm. We've been talking so much about digital health, innovation, keeping the patient at the center, health equity. All of these topics are moving us into the future of healthcare. And we want to make sure that our theme not only recognizes our champions in health, but we take that forward and figure out how do we capitalize on the innovation and the forward thinking that's happening today. So our theme will reflect on making sure we're focusing on bringing positive change to our healthcare industry.
Excellent.
And then does that then parlay into the keynotes? The big
yes.
keynotes?
Yes. Yeah. We work with, the process for planning for global conference happens years in advance.
Yes.
And we're planning for that now. So we work with our members to go through the call for proposal process. So we wade through 900 proposals to present this year. So our team, our wonderful professional development team, is looking to make sure that we provide quality content for our members, which is expected. And then we begin the process of planning the Global Conference Convention Center to make sure it is a positive experience for networking, for getting to the sessions, for making sure that our keynotes are in the right areas, that we provide new and exciting opportunities to showcase innovation, new and exciting opportunities for learning, education sessions, for members to get engaged, for networking. Mm-hmm. As Justin mentioned, when you're walking down the hallway, you're seeing ten friends that you haven't seen in years, and it's like a reunion.
Yes.
So we want to make sure.
We live 10 miles away from each other. Mostly we see each other.
Hands in the conference, yes. Right.
So we want to make sure.
Denise lives close to me, too, but we don't see it once a year at Hymns. Right. Yeah, that's exactly.
So when we think about the global conference, it's not just one thing to think about. It's a global conference, and we're bringing people from all over the globe internationally to engage in this experience. And we want to make sure it's the best experience for everyone, from the individual to someone who's just now entering the conference experience for the first time, which is truly overwhelming. So we want to make sure we take care of them. And then we also want to make sure that we take care of the seasoned professional who is there to network, meet with, have specialized appointments to meet with people in the industry, to people who come to listen to the keynotes, who are expecting big announcements from policy, or come to the center to see the latest and greatest and in the innovative space. What's the next theme? Where is healthcare headed? So we have to make sure that we make this the best conference for every attendee, no matter where they come from.
I don't want to put you on the spot because numbers are numbers, but what is the percentage of first time people going to that conference on an average?
On an average, about 40% of our attendees are first time attendees.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
And what about the vendors?
And we grow every year.
What about is the vendors the same?
Most of the vendors are the same, but we are now seeing the influx of innovation coming into the global conference. So we are now reaching new types of vendors. So as we look at wellness and healthcare, you may see a new vendor, for example, Lyft is a new vendor who's there.
Yeah, I saw them last year.
As we look at the full community of healthcare, we're now starting to see that we have to include others who aren't the traditional healthcare vendor to come and talk about how they impact our industry. So you're going to continue to see those vendors who you may not have ever seen before, but really have an impact in our healthcare experience.
We saw Lyft as a big partner of Hymns 19, and you're going to start to see those big players. And so just to do a little bit of a backup for everybody, I think most of my audience is very familiar with Hymns, the association, the Health Information Management and Systems Society. However, the annual conference that you're speaking about, you know, 45,000 people is what's expected. And I mentioned 40 to 45,000 when I got on air today, because it grows every year. Yes. It's a blessing to be there. We just sealed it yesterday, but we are going to broadcast the radio show again live from the Hymns Conference. This will be my sixth year, I believe. Sixth year. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows, it's Sunday, the kickoff of Hymns. There's probably some pre-conference stuff on Saturday the 7th, but Sunday, March 8th, 2020. So I just want to make sure, and my insider advice for people is book your hotel rooms now.
Yes.
I always tell everybody, just do it as long as you can. I book mine a year. As soon as they open it up, I book mine, because I want to be on site. I need to be able to walk to back and forth my room to between meetings and all that. You have to be there, and I'll cover this. Mm-hmm. And you just actually helped me a lot, and I did not plan this. And you're wonderful, Roberta, for asking you some questions, because you guys have not launched all your themes yet. I think you're going to do that in the next week or so. But I promised my audience.
We're trying.
I promised my audience a Hymns preview at 1:30 today. But you just gave me a lot of the answers to the test. I had some stuff ready to go, because I have some insight. But I think you just helped quite a bit. But I know the official launch of the themes won't come for another week or so.
Yes, and we're planning to open up the Global Conference registration website, where you'll begin to get a taste of all the themes. So that's coming very soon.
Excellent. So staying on track a little bit here, just so we can cover some good ground, and you've already touched on some of it here, but what health and health IT trends are you seeing in the industry and you're navigating in your role?
Yes. Well, for me, what I'm seeing is that we're now beginning to understand that the patient has to be at the center of care.
And every single guest before you has said the exact same thing. It's a resounding theme for today.
Yes.
Excellent.
So patient care.
You got it.
Keeping the patient at the center of care. So we're realizing that care is happening outside of those four walls of the hospital, the traditional settings. And now that's forcing us as an industry to take a look at the full community of health for a patient. So when they leave the healthcare setting, do they have a home to go to?
Yes.
Do they have good food to eat?
Yeah.
Do they have transportation?
Yes.
And are they in an environment that has sidewalks to promote healthy living? Do they have access to be able to come back to the healthcare setting that they need to get to for their continued healthcare experience? So if we, for example, take a patient who lives in a rural setting, who may need access to a specialist who lives in, we can just use Georgia, for example,
yes,
3 hours away, and the specialist is in Atlanta, is it realistic to think that that patient can get to that doctor every week and try to get well? And so we are now beginning to understand that we have to understand the social determinants of health for
yes,
a patient. And I like to call it, Justin, the three P's on where I think healthcare is headed.
Excellent.
Prediction, prevention, and precision.
Wow. I love it.
So if we can predict using social determinants of health, how well that patient will adhere to a treatment plan, or what will that patient be predisposed to in their community, their society, their background, their DNA history, then we can begin to prevent. We can, if that patient does not have transportation, how do we introduce a way for that patient to get to their healthcare setting? So we can prevent some of the causes of that patient not getting as well as anticipated.
And so then, the three P's again are prediction, prevention,
and precision.
Precision. Love it. It's excellent.
So if we have predicted what your health outcomes will be based on your history, your family history, your social community, your access to health and wellness tools that can help you get better. We can help you prevent. So we can give you the home monitoring tools to help you prevent. We can look at your past history and get you the tools and exercise and medications you might need to prevent you from getting worse or prevent you from even having the chronic illness that is predicted. And then precision, if you do contract that chronic illness, we will know enough about your history, your social environment, your past family disease states to offer you a personalized healthcare experience that will help you get better and not just a generalized healthcare experience. And so that's where I see healthcare heading. And to get there, we need the tools. We need the data and information. We need healthcare providers to not be burned out by introducing all of these rules and tools and requiring them to learn something new every day. And we need the skilled workforce that can wade through and bring in the next generation of technology who can understand and create these patterns and predictions and help us understand what's happening in our healthcare environment.
Yeah, I'll actually get a plug for where you went there. I actually had 23andMe do my sequencing and all that. And actually, I was shopping I got it on Thursday or Friday of last week. I think it was last Friday. And I got my email from 23andMe, and I went through it immediately as in a mall, and I just went through it. And literally, I had emailed my mother and my grandmother because I had no predisposition to anything. And I was just – I was so happy. I was like, thank you for the good genes, Mom and Graham. And it was just – I felt blessed because – and I was concerned, obviously, because they go through – I went through all of it. You're talking about Parkinson's and diabetes and Alzheimer's and then all the stuff. Some of the initials I didn't even know, but cancer, you know, predisposition and all that. And I didn't have any of it. And that's – I'm just very fortunate. That's just genetics. And I am 24.4% Italian, which everybody around me knows.
Wow.
It's great. So I was happy about that as well. That's actually not too bad because I'm being, you know, second generation, third generation in America, you sometimes lose. So I'm 24% Italian. But anyhow, I actually think everybody should do 23andMe. I got it from, I don't like to plug companies, but I did buy it on Amazon Prime Day. It was half price. It was $100.
Yes.
I decided to do it and I'm very happy because you do want to know, to your point, going back to healthcare, I mean, we do want to know our genetics. We want to know our predispositions because we can make conscious decisions. Yeah. And then this, and if I did have any predispositions, I bring this to my doctor and then we start managing
exactly
my health differently.
So you're able to prevent as much as you can. If you are predisposed to, let's say, diabetes,
right,
then you can be placed on a health management plan early enough to help prevent it.
Yes.
And then if you do contract it, then the precision of knowing what has happened in your past family history can help that doctor develop a personalized health plan for you.
Excellent. So we're running a little low on time, but I'm actually going to, if you do have time, you're more than welcome to stay in studio. We do have Dr. Rucker calling in a few minutes here. Do you know if they're online? Okay. But Stone, our wonderful producer, will let us know when they come online. But I do want to hear, so go through a few of the best practices or strategies that you recommend my audience to navigate healthcare.
Sure. We're going to talk about interoperability. So we're still focusing on making sure that we have access to data and good information. We also want to continue developing tools that can help the patient be in the best healthcare environment for them. So through focusing on health equity and providing tools and services to make sure that a patient can experience care in the best setting for them to help improve where they are.
Excellent.
And we have to pay attention to clinician burnout.
Yes.
We need to make sure that we develop tools and services, but also make sure that we pay attention to what our clinicians need and focus on their health as well. And make sure that we don't burden them with so many tools and rules that they don't have time to pay attention to the patient.
Yes. 61% of clinicians report burnout at some point. Mm-hmm. And that's way too high. Mm-hmm. We can't sustain our healthcare system and all that we have to accomplish with it with a 61%, reported burnout rate. Completely agree. So in our closing minute or so, do we have Dr. Rucker? Excellent. So, just thinking beyond today, where do you see or what do we need to think about for, 2-3 years down the road and what we need to manage for healthcare or keep our eyes out for?
Again, data and interoperability. We're bringing all these community services and organizations who have not traditionally participated in the healthcare exchange of information. So we need to make sure that we provide ways to get access to information at the right time, the right amount of information at the right time. And making sure that we are focusing on developing health tools and resources that can increase access to healthcare beyond the traditional settings.
That's excellent. I completely agree. And I certainly agree with your social determinants of health and really our community is communities of health. I love how you wrap that together with homes and food and transportation and sidewalks and thinking holistically about the patient, about the community. I think you're spot on. So fantastic, Denise. Again, you're more than welcome to stay in studio if you would like.